our scripture reading, we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We read the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures. And the passage we read and all of the rest of Holy Scripture are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 34. There we read, "What is the law of God? God spake all these words," Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, and then follows the Ten Commandments, which we read a little while ago. How are these commandments divided? Into two tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? That I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God. Trust in him alone. With humility and patience, submit to him. Expect all good things from him only. Love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will. What is idolatry? Idolatry is instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested himself in his word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Dearly beloved saints, we consider now, as we start to go through the Ten Commandments, we consider these commandments as they express the way of gratitude, how we express our gratitude to God for our salvation. We think even of the beginning of the Ten Commandments, when it says, "I am the Lord thy God," and it brings out the fact that Jehovah is our God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And we think of the fact that God has delivered us. He's redeemed us. And that's what we've gone through in the Heidelberg Catechism. We've talked about how great our sins and miseries are, and we've talked about how we are delivered. And now we talk about how we express our gratitude to God, and we see how that goes with the beginning of the Ten Commandments, that he brought them out of bondage. And then at Mount Sinai, as he gives the Ten Commandments, that he begins with those words, "The one who has delivered us from bondage." And we think of that. We think of the fact that man by nature is a slave in bondage, and that we were dead in trespasses and sins. God has quickened us. And though it's still the case that we still have our sinful nature, we have been spiritually quickened. We've been raised from the dead. We delight to do what our God commands. His law is in our heart. And as we hear the commandments, we hear them understanding that we desire to do the things that are mentioned here. As we go through the commandments, we think of how they show us our sin. And we also think of the fact that we really do desire to do the things that God has told us. We delight to serve Him. We delight to glorify Him. The first commandment. This Lord's Day is about the law of God as a whole. It speaks briefly about that, and then it starts talking about the first commandment. And one thing we notice when it talks about the first commandment is that it's similar to the tenth, in that when you talk about the first and when you talk about the tenth, both at the beginning and at the end of the Ten Commandments, then we have a commandment that has to do with all the commandments. We notice with the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, we notice that the explanation is that that's commanding us to glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Well, we recognize that has to do with all the commandments. We renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. That's what the first commandment speaks of. That we serve Him, that we submit to Him. When we get to the tenth commandment, we see something similar. When we get to the end of the ten, it says, what does the tenth commandment require? That even the smallest inclination, we see the similar language, that even the smallest inclination or thought contrary to any of God's commandments never rise in our hearts, but that at all times we hate all sin and with our whole heart and delight, with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. That's commandment 10. We see how similar statement is found here in commandment 1. Having no other gods, we're to serve Him. We're to trust in Him. And we recognize that in this Lord's Day, we speak about idolatry and the danger of contriving or have any other object in which men place their trust. That the first commandment is about trusting in God, not turning to idols, not having any other object in which we place our trust. And lastly, we take note of the fact that we glorify Him, we thank Him. We look at these commandments from the viewpoint of expressing our thankfulness. We submit to Him, we trust Him, we glorify Him, we express our thanks to Him. Even as what we read spoke about, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. We bless the name of our God. We exalt His name. Let us consider this Lord's Day under the theme, Serving God Only. We consider serving Him, trusting Him, and thanking Him. First of all, with regard to the law of God, people have spoken of there being these three uses of the law. The Heidelberg Catechism speaks of two of them. It's been spoken of the first use has been said to be in society. The second use is said to be to show us our sinfulness. That's what we considered at the beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism. And a third use is said to be to express the rule for our life of gratitude. Well, with regard to in society, we do recognize that we are to bear witness to the truth that what God commands, and we are to call people to repentance. And so we do point out what God has stated in the Ten Commandments. But we do recognize at the same time that an unbeliever does not does not benefit. This does not improve society by telling them what the law of God is. Unbelieving man hears what God demands, and he hates God, and he refuses to do what God says. Yet it is the case that the call to repent and believe goes out promiscuously. But we look in the Heidelberg Catechism specifically at the fact that the law of God shows us our sins and shows us how we are to live our life of thankfulness. And indeed, we recognize that although in the Heidelberg we first talked about our sinfulness and now we're talking about our life of gratitude, we recognize that both of those go together, and that in our day-to-day life, what actually happens is that we constantly are directed by God to think about what he calls us to do. And we think about our sin. When we go through each of these commandments and think of what God says here, like that phrase, I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will. Well, how can we read that and not feel convicted? That we fall far short of that. Rather than commit even the least thing, that when I speak, every time I speak, I say what's to the glory of God, for example, that in all of my thoughts that I'm glorifying my Savior. So when we go through the commandments, we recognize they do show us our sinfulness, and we keep thinking of that. We also think at the same time that what we read as we read it, we recognize this is indeed what I desire to do. This is what I'm striving to do. I really do love my Lord. He's my God. I love him. I delight to serve him. We sing that. Thy law is in my heart. Well, how did God's law get in our heart? Well, he put his law in our heart. And we recognize the law of God is not in the heart of all human beings. We understand that. We've been saved by efficacious grace, irresistible grace. We've been raised from the dead. Christ did all that was necessary. He purchased for us blessings, the Spirit works in us, gives us new life. We delight to do what God says. And as we hear the commandments, as we go through them, we also look at them from that point of view. This is what I desire to do. The first commandment reads, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. We must not have any other gods. We must always serve Jehovah God. That's found in the middle of this answer. There's quite a bit that's mentioned in this answer 94. But in the middle of that answer, it says, with humility and patience, submit to him. With humility and patience. Well, we recognize that sinful man does not do that. As we go through the Ten Commandments, we think, well, man by nature does not do that. Many say Jehovah is their God, yet they don't submit to him. And you think of how often, if you were to ask somebody, is Jehovah your God? Is that your God? You think of how many would say yes. Many would say, there'd be many that would say no. There'd be many that would say, would not even profess to be a Christian. We know that, you know, the unbelieving Jews that will say that they worship God, but then do they, with humility and patience, submit to Him? You think of how many would say that Jehovah's their God, and yet they don't submit to Him. They don't do what He says, what He calls them to do. They don't heed His, what He says, and obey His commandments. We often talk about the seventh commandment that's just blatantly violated. And you think of today, we think of how the lying that is characteristic, this constant lie, bearing false witness, is so rampant. You think of the arrogance of man. He's not with humility and patience submitting to God. You think of the command to glorify Him and to worship where the truth is proclaimed. Well, many reject the truth. They're not going to gather and worship and glorify God. They teach things that are not true. And yet if you say, now, is Jehovah your God? They'd say, yes, Jehovah is my God. Sinful man is stubborn. And 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, says that stubbornness is idolatry. Deuteronomy 8 warns us about forgetting God. In Deuteronomy 8, it says in verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments. And you see how that goes together. Someone would say, oh, Jehovah's my God, I'm not forgetting Him. And yet they're not keeping His commandments. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God and not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Beware. And then it speaks in verse 19, and it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods. There it talked about somebody forgetting God and not keeping His commandments. And here in verse 19, forgetting the Lord thy God and walking after other gods. And serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. You think of the multitudes that die and suffer everlastingly in hell. The Bible teaches that. There are many that will deny that, but we recognize that that is what the Word of God teaches. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. And God will point out, our Lord will point out that they have delighted in iniquity. They've done iniquity. Many forget God. God brought that up again in Deuteronomy 32, 18, and there's an interesting connection here with this and the gospel going to the Gentiles. It's interesting to see that in Deuteronomy 32, verse 18, it says, well, going back to verse 16, because then it specifically mentions going to other gods, it says, They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. And then in verse 21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. There's an interesting connection between the not God or not a God and not a people. They've moved me to jealousy with that which is not God, that which is not a God. They've moved me to jealousy with that which is not a God. God says, I will move them to jealousy with them which are not a people. And then we read about this in the book of Romans. In Romans 10, verse 19. And it's talking about God is going to go to the Gentiles. We think of how many unbelieving Jews really rejected him. They claimed to worship Jehovah, but they did not serve him. They said they worshiped Jehovah, but they did not serve him. In Romans 10:19, it says, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And then in verse, joined to the next chapter, chapter 11, verse 11, it says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And we think of how the gospel, the Jews, many of the Jews were unbelieving, did not serve God, and the gospel went to the Gentiles, to those that were not a people, to provoke them to jealousy. And of course, we recognize now, we can easily apply that to ourselves and recognize that as time goes on, when there are people that hear the word taught, and if it's the case that people hear the word taught and that they say Jehovah is their God, and yet they are not serving him, if they really are rejecting his commandments, then we recognize as time goes on that the gospel moves on. And we often talk about that, places where the gospel was soundly preached, that you can go to places today where the gospel once was, and we don't find even small, relatively small groups that we could have like a sister church tie with. I mean, only the Lord knows how many believers may be in this location or that location, but we see how the gospel has moved to different places. And we recognize the danger that's brought out in Deuteronomy 8 that we forget God. And the very first commandment is saying that we are with humility and patience to submit to him. And indeed, that is, as was pointed out, that is what we do desire to do. We who believe in our God, we who are thankful for our salvation, We delight to do what God tells us. And we recognize that our natures are sinful, and we fight them. And we desire to glorify our God, and we sing of that. As we sing in the Psalms, we sing of our delight in the commandments. Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation night and day that we delight to glorify our God. That we're thankful that God teaches us thy word. We're thankful to be taught in our churches. We're thankful to be taught in our homes. And it's important for us to think of that, being taught in our homes by godly parents, godly fathers, godly mothers, to express thankfulness to them for that. Thinking of believing, for those of us who have had a believing father or a believing mother who has taught us, and we think of all they have taught us and how we have learned from them, that God has used them in the instructing of us, in teaching us the truth. The first commandment is learning rightly to know the only true God. Learning rightly to know. And to have a godly parent that's teaching us rightly and warning us about false teachings. We're thankful for that instruction. And we hear this warning to beware, to be on guard. We're thankful for the instruction the Lord has given us, and with joy and gladness, with humility and patience, we're called to submit, and that's what we desire to do. Trusting Him. The first commandment is about what we trust in. It's about submitting. It's about whom we trust in. That last question brings that out. What is idolatry? We recognize a person may think, well, I don't worship idols. I mean, I don't bow down to wood and stone. You know, I don't worship any idols. If you were to ask people, now, do you worship idols? And many would say, no, I don't worship idols. And then if you said, well, what is idolatry? Well, this is the answer. It's instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested himself in his word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Now notice when it speaks about besides the one true God who has manifested himself in his word. Well, many change. They take what God says and they're going to twist it. Many do not like the teachings of Christ. And so they're going to say they're teaching the doctrines of Christ, and yet they have changed them. And we're very familiar with that. And it's important to see in this commandment, in this Lord's Day, on the first commandment, that it brings out this idea of knowing God rightly in two different ways. I mean, in two different places. In the answer 94, it says learning rightly to know. And then in the next question, 95, it says the one true God who has manifested himself in his word. And not to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. And it gives examples of, you know, people that call out to the dead, for example, when it talks about invocation of saints or any other creatures. And we recognize that many in their difficulties, they don't turn to God, they don't turn to His Word to see what God says, but many will go elsewhere instead. Many will look to objects and place their trust in them to make them feel better. So in their trials, when they're stressed out, they'll turn to something. This makes me feel better. And it may be a difference. For one person, that may be something else than for another person, but that they are turning to something other than God and trusting that that's going to make them feel better, that's going to help them get through the trial that they're facing, whatever that may be. We know that the love of money is the root of all evil. We know our Lord said you can't serve God and mammon. And we know that covetousness is idolatry. There's a number of passages that speak of that. Colossians 3:5, Ephesians 5:5, covetousness is idolatry. And we recognize in this day in which we have such an abundance, and we do recognize that we have an abundance, we recognize we're constantly to be on guard against covetousness, and to recognize that the Bible speaks of that as idolatry. So there's another example. If you were to ask somebody, do you worship idols? No. But then if you ask them about covetousness, and explain to them what covetousness is, well, covetousness is idolatry. The Lord's Day gives some examples such as sorcery and soothsaying, which is, you know, foretelling the future. You think of people, astrology, looking to the stars. There's also the fact that many teach falsely about what's going to happen. Just like in the past, there were many false prophets that would speak falsely about what's going to happen in the future. We're to believe what God says to us about what's going to happen in the future, and we're to look to Him. Superstition, we think about, we're warned not to trust in the sacraments as if they're like magical, but we're to trust in God. We're not to do things out of custom or superstition. You know, we mentioned that, like with the sacraments. We're to trust in Him alone. Now, that trust manifests itself in that we go to Him. We go to Him in prayer. We go to His Word. We look to the Word. And we go to Him in prayer. Now, that manifests the fact that we're trusting in Him. When it says, we learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone. Sometimes people talk about trusting in God and other things, as if, well, yeah, they trust in God and they trust in. This says trusting in God alone. And says that if we, besides that one true God, contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust, that's idolatry. Trust in God alone. And that shows itself in the fact that we go to Him in prayer and we go to His Word. We listen to what He says. We receive, we embrace, we submit to. When God is directing us, we submit to him. Notice that that says, trust in him alone, with humility and patience submit to him. You see how those go together. One who is trusting in him, then that manifests itself in the fact that with humility and patience they submit to him, instead of turning away from him and saying, I'm not going to do what God says one thing, and they're going to do something else. Well, trusting in God alone shows itself in the fact that in our daily life, that we're looking to God, we're praying for his grace, we're looking to him for guidance, for wisdom, we're looking to him for the strength, for the comfort that we need. And as we go forth in the day, with humility and patience, we're submitting to him. That's what we did. That manifests the fact that we're looking to Jehovah, our God. And we express to our God our thanks. When it says, when thou hast eaten, verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And then right after that, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. We thank him. We delight to worship him. You think of how many would say, if you were to ask them, do you worship Jehovah God? You know, is Jehovah your God? Yes. And yet they don't worship him. You think of how many won't. They either do not gather at all, or they go someplace where what is being taught is not true, or there are errors that are being taught and they're not turning from them. We show our thankfulness to God, worshiping him, praising him, exalting his name. Thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. We express our thanks to him. That what we don't do is we don't say that we have gotten these things ourselves. You know, God warned them. It says, he fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, and so on. Beware that thou, and then in verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. That we recognize that he is the one that has given us the power. All that we have, we've received from him. The things we need, they come to us from him. We thank him. We don't place our trust in the creatures. We thank the God who has provided us with all things that we need. And we desire to glorify him. The living God, the true God. We express our thanks to him. That's our desire. That's our goal. In all aspects of life, our goal is to glorify our God. And we think of that in all aspects of our life. What we're to seek to do is to magnify his name. And that's brought out, too, when it says, expect all good things from him only, love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart. We glorify him. We love him. We fear him. That's a filial fear. He's our Father. We revere him. We show reverence to him. We love him who first loved us. And we desire to glorify him. Now, you know, we think of that, expressing our thanks and glorifying him in the different trials that we go through. When we find that we're tempted, we have sinful enemies that cease not to assault us and would lead us to go the wrong way in our trials and to do what we know is contrary to what God tells us to do. We recognize that what we're to think about is we're to recognize the sinfulness of our thoughts and desires, and to think that I must repent of that and live to the glory of my God. You think of a good example of that would be, for example, let's say that you have two brothers, brother, sister, two brothers, two sisters in the church of Jesus Christ, and they're upset with one another for whatever reason that may be. And they know what they really should do and how they should deal with the situation that they have. But instead, they try to find reasons to deal with it in another way. They like to be able, they continue to think their angry thoughts that they have. They keep burying this grudge. They know they're not supposed to, but they keep doing it. And there leads to strife between them when there shouldn't be strife. And then in their own thinking, they think, well, this person did this, or this person did that. And therefore, that's why I'm doing this. And it's just like a little child that when one child will do something to some child, then the other child will do something back. And then if that's what's seen, and you say, hey, why did you do that? You should never have done that. And then the child will say, but he did this, or she did that. You should have heard what she said to me. And so the person's thinking, because of what she said to me, I can do that. You should have seen what she said. Well, what if in our situation we looked at it from the viewpoint of glorifying God? If our desire is to glorify God, to thank him for our salvation, if that's our goal, then we serve him, right? Then we serve him, and we think about what he tells us to do. He tells us what we're not to do. He tells us what we're to do if somebody sins against us. He tells us what we're not to do. And our desire is to glorify our God, to express our thankfulness to him. So what should we do? And now when we start thinking that way, and this is we all have this struggle with our evil nature. And as we start thinking this way, we start recognizing, well, I know what I should do. In fact, I really want to do that. I don't want to go down this other road, which I know is wrong. I want to go this way, because I know I am thankful for my salvation. I do want to glorify him. I hear what he says. I know what he tells me. And I want to do what's to the glory of my God. That's what this first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, points us to. It shows us our sin. It shows us the way of a life of gratitude. You can apply that to drunkenness. Somebody's partying, whether maybe it's a young person, it's partying. Knows they're not supposed to. They'll gather for worship. You know, when it's Sunday, they're going to get to worship on time. And they may, you know, if they're in catechism, they may have their catechism memorized. But yet they're going to do that, that they know they're not supposed to. They know God says they're not supposed to. But others are doing it too, though. And they can see others that are doing the same thing. Then we think of what God says here. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. Beware. Don't forget your God. And you start thinking about God. And in your thoughts, you start thinking about, now, what does God say? You know this is wrong. You know others are doing it, and you've got a sinful nature. But you recognize what you should do. And you want to turn away. And then when there's others that are doing it, you know that, well, God also tells me not only that I'm supposed to turn away, but I'm supposed to go to them and talk to them too, the guys that I've been doing this with, and I need to be telling them too. Now, you know that God says we're not to be doing this. I mean, we're children of God. He's delivered us from bondage. He set us free. He's made an everlasting covenant with us. We desire to serve him, to glorify him. Express our thankfulness to him. That's what this first commandment speaks about. We glorify him with my whole heart, so I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will. You can apply that to fornication, adultery, lying, and so on. And we recognize in our battle with our threefold enemy, we're to constantly think of what our Lord tells us. He warns us, he calls us, tells us what to do. He comforts us with the truth of forgiveness. We come to him in sorrow. We violated these commandments, every one of them. As we read them, we think of our own sin and our sinfulness. We confess our sins to God, and God comforts us with the truth that we're forgiven. You think of the peace that, you know, the comfort that our Heavenly Father gives us as we come to him in sorrow. We confess we've done things, we've said things we ought not to have said. We're ashamed. We are sorry. And our Heavenly Father comforts us that we're forgiven. Christ has paid the price. He's redeemed us. And thankful for our redemption, we submit to him. And in our trials, we trust in God alone. In all things, we turn to him. We turn to his word. We trust in him. We go to him in prayer. We rely upon him. With confidence, we say, the Lord will provide. He is with me. I know he is with me. I know he will grant me what I need. He will strengthen me. He strengthened me in the past. He'll strengthen me now. He'll grant me what I need. I look to him. I go to him. I believe what he says. He promises, and I believe what he says. I trust in him. I trust in him alone. And with patience, humility, I submit to him. I expect all good things from him. Only. Such is the first commandment. May we glorify our God. Express our thankfulness to him. Think about his word. Go to him in prayer. And may we encourage one another in these last days to live to his honor. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we are very thankful for our salvation. We are very thankful for the comfort that we have in thy Son. And we ask that thou would grant us the grace that we may learn of thee, and that we may be strengthened. We are sorry for our sins. We recognize with this, when we read this and the other commandments, we know we've sinned, and we're sorry for our sin. We ask that thou would forgive us. And Lord, strengthen us in all things to think of glorifying thee, expressing our thankfulness to thee. Grant that grace to us. Grant that to our children, young and old. Grant us the grace to honor thy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.